Welcome to the Spin Access Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
I'm Tyson Deskins.
In this episode, we're going to talk again about tour player ranges and windows. It's not an average. The average is somewhere near the middle, might not be dead in the middle. For example, this conversation is being spurred on by some discussion on some forums that I'm on where I don't think people really understand what we mean by tour ranges and windows and how many players fit within those tour ranges and windows, and then how few outliers they are. Partly because if there were as many outliers as many people seem to think, they wouldn't be outliers anymore. They would be 40%. You can't be 40% of the population to be an outlier. That's just a large minority. Outliers are like 2%, 3% maybe, something like that. For example, nobody would disagree that your angle of attack with a 7-iron needs to be somewhere probably between 2 down and 8 or 9 down. Brooks Koepka's on the higher end there. Tom Watson back in the day might have been closer to the 2-degree number to play PGA Tour golf with a 7-iron. I don't think anybody denies that.
No.
But you don't see anybody saying like, this guy, I think he hits 2 up with his 7-iron and he's a scratch player, so I'm going to try to do that. Like, use that outlier to justify their swing that's hitting 3 degrees up with their 7-iron. Nobody does that. And yet we see people arguing in favor of outliers to justify their golf swing. Okay, Chris Goddard just won on the PGA Tour. Ryan Fox just won the British Open. So
The Open. There's going to be a lot of British people that are going to be upset. Yeah. I just came back
just
from
over there. Yeah. You were just over there. I don't care.
They're very upset.
The US Open trophy is the only one that says Open Championship. The Claret Jug does not even say open.
That's an outlier, though. That's just an outlier.
Yeah,
that's an outlier. It's 1 out of 4, 25%. They just won, and they have obviously somewhat unique backswings. So I don't know how many ranges or windows we might talk about. It could be 30, it could be 100, because you could talk about all kinds of stuff. How much wrist hinge, how much the trail elbow bends, how much your knees change flex, the rate of rotation or the amount of rotation of your pelvis, the amount of rotation of your chest, all kinds of stuff. Okay, there's a bunch of ranges and windows. If we imagine that there are 50, what we often see from someone who's an actual outlier, like Ryan Fox is an outlier.
Sure.
That swing is very different than his lead arm angle at the top of the backswing is an outlier type number. They usually have one outlier that requires another outlier as a compensation.
Yeah, to balance it out.
No doubt about that.
Yep.
But if Ryan Fox comes to you or me for a golf lesson, we probably aren't touching that. We are probably looking to understand it.
Yes.
And understand how it fits in and the compensation that he has to make for that. But if Ryan Fox, the roofer from down the street, comes to you with a lesson and is doing that and is a 15 handicap, that's probably one of the first areas we're looking.
Absolutely.
Agree or disagree?
I would agree.
I agree. The problem is that when people make one weird move and they hit, you know, they shoot 90s to 120s, they clearly don't have the other compensation. And it's like, all right, well, I'm not going to take, you know, Ryan, the roofer, and go, all right, because you lack so much hand depth at the top of your backswing, let's get you into, I don't even know the amount, the degree of right side bend that Ryan Fox gets into in order to get the hands and the shaft down. Yeah, it's just bonkers. That would break his back as the poor Mr. Roofer, and he wouldn't be able to go to work tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah. You know, and I'm telling people all the time, I think every golf swing is a series of compensations. It's just how big and how drastic are those compensations. Somebody like Adam Scott, who has what a lot of us would call a pretty clean looking golf swing, the movements that's happening throughout the swing is a series of compensations. They look clean. They're not as crazy and as an outlier as a Ryan Fox. And if we put him in measurements, he's probably going to fit and maybe a lot more windows, but that doesn't mean that there's not compensations going on in a swing.
Yeah, and he might be in the middle of a lot of the ranges
Absolutely.
If you just picture this, if you picture a bunch of like ranges and windows kind of just stacked on top of each other, let's just even say 10.
Okay.
There's 10 ranges, right? And so you have just bars, like the minimum and the maximum of whatever, whether it's in inches or degrees or whatever. You just picture 10 bars stacked on top of each other. You could plot depending on how much you want to measure, if you're going whole numbers, maybe not infinite, but you could plot almost infinite routes through that, staying completely within the windows. You could have a little bit on the left side of this bar and a little bit on the right side of that bar, and the next guy might be in the middle of this bar and the left side of that bar. And you could plot down through that and have all kinds of different shapes, and that's only 10 parameters.
Right.
Those swings will look very different.
Yeah.
Tour ranges and windows are both fairly narrow, but because there are so many of them, there's so many different routes that you can go. There are very few tour players whose shaft points way outside or way inside the target line at P5.
Absolutely.
Because there's no time left to do that.
Absolutely.
The range of where the shaft is there is a pretty tight window.
Yep.
Almost all tour players, it's right there. A lot of amateurs, the shaft is pointing 2 feet inside the target line or five feet outside the target line at that point in the swing at P5.
Absolutely.
They're outside of a window at a very tough place to recover from.
Yeah. And they can feel it. They just
don't know what to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they compensate with something else. They throw in another compensation that isn't a Ryan Fox type one that they've rehearsed every day for 30 years.
Yeah.
Thousands of times, millions of times, tens of millions of times. They haven't done that. They play once a week and then they put roofs on houses, apparently.
That poor roofer. It was actually funny. I had an in-person lesson today, and fellow just, you know, talk about bad outside ranges. Trail arm literally touching bicep to forearm.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even crushing that. And so club is like way across at the top, and then you just have to reroute it from there. And so he's just hitting every kind of shot conceivable. And he's like, oh, this is a perfect example. This is how inconsistent I am on the golf course. I'm like, well, that's because of XYZ. So we'll sort that out. So he sorted it out. And then he went from hitting every different golf shot to just hitting little pull hooks. And he's like, well, are we going to talk about how I'm hitting pull hooks now? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Just probably not today, because you're at least now hitting a consistent shot shape because of X. Like, look at your position at the top. It is dramatically better. The club is literally coming down a good plane. But the problem is you're still stall flipping at impact because you used to have to do that with your old swing. And I'm like, if you just keep getting more and more comfortable with the top of position, you will start like self-correcting and turning and rotating through impact. But that's because of your top position before was so past that window that you need to roughly be in, right, to play your best golf. And so, yeah, the last 10 shots of the lesson, he's like, oh my God, this is so much easier. I can literally feel like the club's just turning through as I rotate. I'm like, perfect. Now you've got your two feels. You got your backswing feel. You got your downswing feel. You just now need to hit 5,000 golf balls, and, you know, 4,000 of those need to be at slow speed.
Yeah. Well, and Eric,
and if you have to play tomorrow, aim to the right.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, Eric, you would know this because you've been in these forums longer than I have, but I feel like every time there's a player on the PGA Tour that would be an outlier that wins a big tournament like the Open, like Ryan Fox just did.
Every time, yeah.
Every single time, those people who are trying to make that argument come out of the woodworks or out of the weeds to yell their argument again. That
sometimes, you know, almost literally out of the weeds, off right? the side of the fairway,
out of bounds. They come from out of bounds to make their argument, right? That, well, just swing your swing, right? Swing your swing. And, you know,
just get better at that.
Right.
Well, yeah. If your club shaft is pointing 5 feet outside the golf ball at P5, you're cooked already.
You're cooked. And, you know, I think there are coaches out there that maybe try to put all of their players into a window because they have a preference for how they like the golf swing to look. And then you have another group of people who say, well, anything goes, just swing your swing. When in reality, the masses of the golfers, it probably needs to be somewhere in the middle. We as coaches need to have different tools to help the different people that we see. And if you get that good player who is an outlier, you're just trying not to screw them up, right? You're trying to learn what makes them tick.
And that doesn't mean if you have a good player, and then Jason, I'll come to you. That doesn't mean if you have a good player, you aren't edging them toward or away from that extreme thing.
That's right.
Maybe
that's right.
Ryan Fox was more like that 5 years ago. Maybe.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're not slowly kind of getting a few degrees a year, maybe, out of that.
Right. Jason?
Yeah. And you know, the best part about the golf swing is there's so many different ways of making it work inside what matches or what balances. Often I will have like a lesson where I'll be just chatting through the student and be like, here's what's happening in your swing. Here's what we want to do. And we could actually sort this out three different ways. And I will tell them, I'm like, okay, because of this is happening, this happens. And so we could either tackle it this way. We might get the shaft a little bit more across the line. And if that happens, then it will reroute like this. So let's try that out first. And then they send me in videos and I'm like, okay, that looks really good. Is that easier? And they're like, I don't know. That feels really funky. I'm like, okay, well, let's try this way. And then they send that. And I'm like, okay, how's that feel? They're like, that's easier to me. Great. That's just a different way of making it all match up at, you know, P5/P6, right? Because those are the two, you know, P6, obviously the most important impact P7, but it's like, so when we think about the golf swing, it can totally balance a bunch of different ways. It doesn't have to be one cookie cutter needs to be this position. It just needs to be like, if you do this, this needs to happen. Like I have one guy, I don't know if I've chatted this before, but he had like frozen shoulder. And so you can hold on at the golf club. And so like his right hand comes off the club, he's just flying his right elbow. But like as he reroutes the club coming down from where it was at the top, it literally slots perfectly. And then because it's sort of like back behind him, he has to turn massively open with his upper body to like get through the golf ball. And he's like down 7 or 8 with his irons. But man, is he playing the best golf of his life right now with like basically like 1.5 hands right on the club. But it all just bounces for him. And he's, you know, he was fighting so hard to like look orthodox. That's the right word.
Yep.
Because that's what it's supposed to look like. And I'm like, no, that's not it for you, right? This is what you need.
Yeah, I think a lot of players that want to make the argument that you're just teaching one swing because I know these ranges and windows. Like I said, there's a winding path of a bunch of different swings that could stay almost entirely within those ranges and windows. And the swings based on the timing, honestly, the shape and size of the player himself, yeah, absolutely, or herself. And just how much they do them and when they do the things, each of the little ranges of windows, there might be 100 of those. And you can have a very different looking swing. Steve Stricker was probably very much within the almost all the ranges of windows, was at the outer edge of like wrist hinge window.
Yes.
Okay. Versus someone else that hinged their wrists more. Swing looks very different than someone else because of the tempo, because of how much he did the various things. I have players with upright swings. I have players with more flatter or shallower swings. I'm proud of the fact that I understand the ranges of windows. Let's talk about pelvis turn, for example.
Yeah.
PGA Tour range might be 25 to 50 degrees. You're not going to find too many at 50. You're going to find a lot more 45 or less, you know, 40 degrees, something like that on the backswing. I had a guy who turned his pelvis 1.9 degrees, if you can believe that. And I have far too many people that when they come for their first gears lesson, turn their pelvis 55, 60 degrees.
60 degrees, yeah.
65. I've seen 70, 75 degrees.
It's incredible.
That's not going to work for most amateur golfers.
Yeah.
And when I say most, I mean like 99.9 repeating for a long time before you stop drawing nines.
Right.
I think there's a big issue right now of people turning, not loading.
Yep.
Like there was a guy that someone tagged me in someone's swing on social media just like a day or so ago. And he's like, yeah, you know, I don't turn enough in my real swing. And then he's like, but I'm doing a great job in my practice swing. And I'm like, well, you're turning, but you're not loading. So then when you actually pull the trigger over the golf ball, you're then not turning at all because you can't load into it. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes. Yes, I'm sure. Like
pretty confident.
The amount of internal rotation in the trail hip is a range or a window.
Yeah.
And you have some players that are capable of more and some players that are capable of less. And you have some players that hit that range of motion and then just keep going and their thigh rotates out and they just keep going and they've turned their pelvis too much at the top. Ranges and windows do not mean you're teaching one swing. It just means you're aware of what's possible.
Yeah.
And what's best.
Yep.
For people that overbend their elbow, what I like to do is I have them put their arm, bend their elbow a ton and put their arm almost, their hand almost even with their shoulder, like really far retracted back here. And I will have them try to push as hard as they can with their arm. And I can like hold with very little pressure. They can't push very hard there unless they like just lean on me and use their legs. But if they just use their arms, they can't push very hard from there because they've gone past a good range of motion for the shoulder and elbow joint. Then I have them put their arms more out in front of them, keep their arm at 90 degrees or a little bit wider. And then from there, they can push really hard because that puts their arm and shoulder in a better position to push.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason ranges and windows work. When you go beyond them or stop short of them, if you stop short of them, you're costing yourself. And usually when you go beyond them, you're costing yourself in some way.
Yeah. And the other one that I like to match up for a lot of golfers is your shaft pitch to your turn. That's something that's usually really easy to see. Not a lot of golfers. And they're obviously, if you're going to talk about outliers like Sergio Garcia, Daniel Berger, Ricky Fowler, like they just are a little bit more laid off to their turn, right? Most golfers can't come back from that. Well, I mean, Daniel Berger and Ricky Fowler obviously changed it. Sergio didn't, but I mean, it's crazy everything else that's happening in there. But then it's like, the more turn you have, like John Daly, Freddie Couples, the more the club is going to get across the line. Those are okay matchups. The amount of people that send me in swings are like, oh, I hate how, you know, my club gets too far down. And I'm like, it's totally fine. They're like, what? Really? I'm like, well, yeah, look how much shoulder turn you have. You have like 95 to 100 degrees of shoulder turn. Like you're into like the long drive. Like, what's your club head speed? And like, oh, it's pretty high. I'm like, well, I can tell. Those are totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you were, you know, John Rahm type turn, and then your club's that, then you're going to have trouble coming back down from the top. You know, so again, that needs to match, you know, your turns and your shaft pitch need to match closely, you know, in your swing.
Yeah, I say that about those people that their arms have run a 10K, but their chest and body have only run a 5K. So at some point, if they want to cross the finish line together, the body's going to have to wait for the arms. And yes. They're like waiting at the finish line, like, hello, are you coming?
Where have you been?
That's good.
Right? Yeah. And I think it's all cause and effect. And I think the cool thing about outlier golf swings is it does make us as coaches probably look at that swing and be like, all right, well, how does that swing actually work? You know,
yep.
And it sort of just keeps us sort of on our toes, if you will. But that does not mean that anybody out there should be trying to do all those things. Just understand cause and effect. I think a lot of PGA Tour swings are way simpler than what most amateur golfers are out there trying to do. They're not more complicated. And I would say a swing like Ryan Fox's, it is more complicated, but at the same time, you wouldn't try to change that with Ryan Fox. He just won. Right.
He's been doing it for 30 years. You've played once a week and you've been doing it for the past 25, maybe. The time might be almost the same.
Right.
But he's hit about 1,000 times as many golf balls doing that.
That's right.
If you are named Ryan Fox and you are a roofer, write to us and we'll try to send you a prize.
Yeah. That's right. Send us your swing. We'll help you out.
That's right. Right.
For free.
For free.
Thanks for putting roofs on people's houses.
Awesome. Jason, where can people find us?
You can find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis, and you can find us online, listen to all our old episodes at thespinaxis.com.
And if you think we're idiots, tell us. We'd love to hear from you, but just come with a good reason. Don't just say you're idiots and then leave it at that. You got to have something beyond that to tell us, okay?
And if you do think we're idiots, you're an outlier.
All right. Take care, guys.